ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, thank you. Welcome to ER101. Well, we're seeing, you know, springtime, a lot of new drivers on the road. I'm the parent of a relatively new driver, and the issue of distracted driving is still very important. A lot of states are passing legislation. Are the laws having effect? Our expert, Dr. James Williams, a guest, frequent guest on the show, and attending from Covenant Medical Center, is here to talk about it. So what do you think, Dr. Williams? I mean, do you think that we're making a dent with all the media and the laws in the distracted driving issue?
Yeah, I think the media has definitely helped to increase awareness, but I think we need to make that next step now to sort of enforce some of the laws that are out there, and that's the big problem. People recognize it, but the problem persists. It's really not being enforced, and consequently, we're still seeing the problems out there, namely, you know, motor vehicle accidents and other problems associated with distractions caused by either texting or talking on the cell phone when they should be doing something else.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I think NHTSA got new statistics again, and still like 400,000 plus people involved in motor vehicle crashes from distracted driving, and injured, still thousands of deaths. And you know, there's also been something in the news that's a little controversial. So, you know, there's an accident and alcohol's involved, you sort of can sense it in the people in the accident. They do these sobriety tests right at the time of the accident. But how are they checking? You know, that's part of your enforcement issue, right? How are they checking whether the person was texting at the time? Because I see people texting all the time on the road.
Right. I'm sure we all do when we're driving. You see people that are texting. But it's a great question. And I posed this to one of the police officers who is in our emergency department. We have them for safety issues, but they're regular police officers, and they said that in fact that they can, after the fact, forensically test somebody's cell phone to at least see that if a phone was active, whether it's texting or talking, at the time of the accident. And they may need a subpoena for that, but in the event that the patient doesn't voluntarily give it. But they've said, and this is really interesting, they said the person who typically isn't, you know, guilty, they'll say, fine, you can check it. The person who is concerned about it, they won't hand the phone over. They need to get a subpoena, but they can get that forensic evidence. And I think that's really important, because in our ER, we're a level 2 trauma center. You know, we have seen significant accidents caused by distracted driving.
Yeah, no, and I think that's good. And there are, of course, you know, all this civil rights, you know, and ACLU, they're worried about invasion of privacy, related to this, but I agree, if it's a serious accident, I guess if it's a fender bender, people might not go all the way to the point of needing a subpoena or, you know, for doing it. But that's the controversial issue. You know, what are your civil rights for that? Is it an invasion of privacy? But it's a public issue, because, you know, we've had the law in Maryland for a while, and you still see, you can almost tell from behind who's texting, right? Because they're either driving slow or their head's going up and down, up and down, up and down. So, you
that's
know,
great.
They think driving slow is going to make a difference, but not on highways and things.
Well, that's right. It can make things just as worse. And, you know, that's just talking about the phones when you're texting, but now you throw in potentially Google Glasses. You know how that's going to throw a wrench into everything, too. So there is a balance, I think, of the privacy that we have as individuals. But, you know, then when that impacts somebody else's liberties to the extent you're causing an accident, I think most people would agree that that's probably a time to enforce these issues, to, you know, especially if you have a serious accident, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. So distracted driving is not just texting, right? They've decided it's using your, according to NHTSA, too, the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration, using your cell phone to talk, I guess, eating or drinking, talking with passengers, I guess, if you're turning away, grooming. There are those people putting their makeup on, I guess, combing their hair while they're driving, reading maps. Okay. Well, I got to say, who really reads maps anymore with, but it's true. You could be, you know, looking at your navigation system. Maybe they qualify navigation after maps. So I guess there are a few people that still read maps and watching a video and even adjusting a radio. And I guess, you know, to be the devil's advocate, that's what people are saying. Hey, you know, we've been doing this all the time. It isn't, you know, what's the surge in this? But I think certainly texting and the cell phones have changed that a lot.
I think so. And you mentioned several studies. The National Safety Council certainly has put out numbers too that shows that there really is this brain drain when you're trying to focus. People think we can multitask, but the studies have shown that, in fact, when you're either talking on the phone, whether it's hands-free or not, or texting, effectively that is the same as being a drunk driver. And I think it's a really good way to just sort of say, it doesn't really matter necessarily what you're doing, but when it's distracting you from moving, whether it's a half-ton or a ton medical vehicle 40 to 60 miles down the road, that's probably not a good combination.
Yeah, actually, there's a researcher, I think in Utah, Dr. David Strayer, who said something like, if you're texting, you're 8 times more likely to be involved in a serious crash and twice as dangerous as drunk driving. It's like even more dangerous than drunk driving.
Absolutely. Well, you can appreciate this. I have a 16-year-old son who I was just teaching to drive. We went in a remote parking lot. Nobody was around, but you're teaching them to just, you know, accelerate, brake, how to do the mirror scan, how to do the dashboard scan, and you can just tell he's sort of trying to incorporate all this. And so while we're going, I say, well, here's your cell phone. Try texting now, too. And it just really drove home the point, especially with what you said. You have kids, too. It is just impossible. You can't multitask and give driving what it really needs.
Right. You know, and I think probably one of the biggest problems we have today is there is a huge stigma attached to drunk driving now. We've stigmatized it, and I think that's good. But we still haven't totally, we're starting to, but we need to stigmatize texting and driving, this kind of distracted driving, because in the past it was more of, you know, a perception of a highly busy, successful individual that's so important, their message needs to get through and they need to do these things. And, you know, I think we have to turn it around and stigmatize it the way we did for drunk driving. You know, you wouldn't see a mother get into the car with her small kids, you would hope, after several drinks and drive someplace. But yet, you know, a busy mom can't miss this appointment. We see it. So we really have to make it something that sticks.
Absolutely. That's the difference, too. And hopefully we'll just continue to put programs like yours to increase awareness to say this really is not such a benign thing. And maybe you and I are just seeing the really bad things that other people don't appreciate. They would say, you know, minimize it. Oh, they're not really accidents. You and I are seeing it every day in the ER, right? And I think that's why programs like this are so important, to get that message out and say this really is a problem.
Yeah, I can imagine. I have a 17-year-old, so he's pretty good, and we have the, you know, cell phone set down, and I try not to text him. He's supposed to text me when he arrives at a place, so I know he made it there. But I can't imagine, even when I was learning to drive, I couldn't imagine if I had those distractions how I would have been. So it's a tough thing.
Well, that's what's fun with the when you're teaching. You know, again, my son, when I said, here, take the cell phone, he couldn't do it. And hopefully it was sort of a learning point to say, okay, look, there really is a lot of things that you can do. But I think that probably goes just for experienced drivers, too. You know, you just can't do it, whether you're not just a teenager or even elderly. You know, anybody, I think it's just taking too much attention away from what really is a significant issue.
Yeah, tuning the radio takes less of a second and you're listening. I agree. Trying to read a text or email is ridiculous. And hey, you and I have seen texting and walking injuries, so it's a potentially serious problem. Well, this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.